Welcome to the Higher Balance Expansion Module, Dimensions, Disc 2 of 2.
So, you know, the whole thing with time travel and dimension, I'll give you an interesting case study. There was rock climbers, which is a fascinating story. I just was telling somebody not too long about it, who were climbing the side of this place in Washington State, and they climbed up the top of this area, and they know that the area is known for having geodes, which are stones. If you cut them open, there's crystals inside. And these college students went up there, and they happened to think that they found one, so they tuck it, put it in their backpack, and whatever, climbed down. Sometime later, let's say weeks or whatever, a month later, they decided to have one of their friends cut it at the college, I guess. And he tried to cut it and broke every single blade. And so naturally they were like dumbstunned by it. So they had some specialist place cut it open, and they cut it open. And what they found inside of this stone was a spark plug from a tractor in the 1940s. A very large man-made manufactured spark plug encased in the stone. They carbon dated how old the stone was that was fused into it. And it was carbon dated like over hundreds of thousands of years old. So the real question is how did a spark plug from a tractor from the 1940s end up inside of the stone that's been carbon dated hundreds of thousands of years or millions of years old?
Well, on top of the cliff.
On top of the cliff. So it's hypothetical to say anything could have happened. Who knows? It could have came from a tractor that was near a giant explosion from a volcano. The masses of energy, which we know little about energy, period, somehow warped time and space and put it somewhere else. Or you could hypothetically say a UFO picked it up and dissected it in the 40s. And they have the ability to time travel, and they were somewhere in the prehistoric days and just said, okay, we've studied everything we want with it, let's throw it out. They threw it out, and it happened to just be at the right place at the wrong time, and it got encased in stone, and we found it millions of years later. I mean, who's to say? I mean, the possibilities are endless. But I would highly suspect that this has something to do with dimensional thinking, and that it was just a circumstance of how this came about. So, back to dimensional walking. Any other questions? Matt looks to Jordan. I don't think he's doing anything important over there. In either case. So, dimension walking. If you're wondering what a tetrahedron is, it's something that is kind of the mathematical secret to time, space, dimensional travel, and everything else. But that's a whole conversation.
It's kind of like a blessing passive.
So, in either case, dimension walking is kind of like the Carlos Castaneda concept of spiritual dimension. There are beings, under the right circumstances, that you will become more aware of, or you will be able to see or experience. When I say experience, feel, know, smell, hear, taste something, okay? To confirm that they exist. Well, you know, you can taste air, you can smell it, you know a damp forest area.
Yeah,
and when you inhale in your mouth, you can almost feel the dampness or the muddiness in the air. It's hard to describe. It's not like normal tasting, but so what I mean by taste is sometimes you get very strong taste in your mouth and not know why, but it's a paranormal effect. All of your senses are useful. In either case, so there are dimensional beings that you can also become aware of. But it's very important that you maintain and you control your thought. Thought is everything. If your mind wanders, you are not going to reach a state of consciousness that you want. If you walk too fast, you will not reach the state of consciousness you want. The idea is eventually you can do anything you want. I mean, kind of like what I'm doing. But the point is, if you want to achieve this, you have to first achieve it once so that you can recognize it and work with that to build up to something bigger and better. But if you're going to rush things, you're not going to achieve it. So you'll never know how to get into that direction. It's unfortunately, I don't have anywhere to take you, because normally I'll take a group of people out and show them how to do this, so we're just going to have to... Okay. First things first, okay? There is a lot of things to keep in mind. There is no real format that I can say, well, this is what you have to do step by step by step. So what I'm going to do is try to think about what I go through in order to help you realize what's going on or what I'm doing. And one particular thing is definitely, and never do, is never put your hands in your pockets when you're doing anything paranormal, spiritual, haunted house, ghosts, UFOs, anything. Never in your pockets. Hands are your sensory, okay? Just because you touch things doesn't mean that you can't touch energy, okay? You can experience energy with your hands. Your hands have probably one of the most complex nervous systems in your, well, I wouldn't say entire body, but certainly very likely. They're designed to be very sensitive, very data-oriented compared to touching something with the bottom half of your hand. They're nearly as complex as touching it with your fingertips. Your body is designed to function as a human body, yes, okay, but you can make it do things that are incredible. I mean, it's kind of like saying, well, skateboards first came out, the only thing you could do with skateboard was to just kind of do your normal skateboard. And then they take something very simple, and they've made it very complex, haven't they? They ride on rails, curves, you know, whatever they can get on, they can do. It's the same thing as like saying, if I touch this, you know, stereo, it may come in better because I arc the electrical whatever that's going on, and it's going to receive better. So what I'm saying is your body can be utilized to experience energies as one whole device. You don't just have to say you have to hear something or see something to experience. You literally can feel with your entire body if it's done correctly. That's something to keep in mind. So one of the things is I'm always aware of my entire body, how my entire body feels, what it's experiencing. Because as it collects or it feels coolness or something, sometimes you feel something beyond cool. It's like you start to know things. So it's not just a cool ear. It's actually electrical dimensional information, like cellular phone information, just dimensionally, and you can feel it. Hands should always be out. Fingers should always be up. Always have them maybe on your side or move around or wave them around. I mean, any of that's perfectly fine. Breathing. When your mind relaxes, and relaxing and keeping your mind very clear is a very important part of dimensional walking. You should try to certainly not have thought. It's almost like you're in anticipation, like you're just calmly waiting for something to happen, but without really feeling that too much. And my breathing is extremely shallow. It's like I'm breathing through my nose very slowly. In fact, I'm not even thinking about my breath. It's so shallow. It's so very gentle. Okay, so if you're breathing fast, one of the things you're going to learn, if you haven't learned a meditation, right, breathing fast is not good because your mind starts to think fast. If you breathe slowly, your mind slows down and doesn't think so fast. So breathing is directly connected to your mental thought. There's no doubt about it. So just kind of relaxing your breathing. Kind of stretching your body, kind of mentally, just letting everything go and just kind of taking in the environment. I do suggest that you're not with anybody else. I suggest that you're on your own private time experiencing nature. One of the things I was going to point out is, again, is your childhood. When you were a child, you were more highly sensitive. In fact, you probably at night were afraid more, but you also probably heard more noises and thought you'd seen more things and whatever else, and you were told, well, it's your imagination. I'm willing to say that I don't think it was your imagination. I'm willing to say that what you've seen were things that you couldn't explain and you were afraid of, but your senses were so polished, so intense from being afraid, that you became more aware and you lost those things over time. In either case, the point is that when you were a child, there may have been a time when you were out by yourself, maybe in a field or near a tree or something, and you hit a peak moment of smelling, feeling the sun,
senses intensify for some reason. It's like a communion between you and nature. That is a good thing to kind of try to feel as you attempt your dimensional walk. It's kind of almost like going into a zone, almost into a trance. Does everybody relate to what I'm saying? That's kind of what you want to experience. One of the things that would do that a lot for me was the smelling of sweet grass, or like, you know, dry hay type, farm type grass. It has a very soothing effect to allow you to begin to go into that state of mind. But you can't do it if you're with other people. Consciousness jumps. Consciousness distracts and it's not a good thing. So again, it's something that if you think about it when you were a child, that state of consciousness. Did you do it when you had other people there? No. You did it when you were alone. Think about it, if I'm right or wrong.